The Marble Hill Church of God Seventh-day Fellowship presents The Way It Ought to Be, with the good news of the Kingdom of God coming to the earth and how you may prepare for it and avoid the calamities just around the corner.
This is Bob Hutchinson sitting in for Pete Hornbuckle for The Way It Ought to Be. I mentioned last time that we learn through a variety of ways. Sometimes words are sufficient, but often not. We have heard of the School of Hard Knocks I mentioned, the difficult circumstances of life that teach us lessons we don't learn any other way. When a parent disciplines a child, we are making life difficult for the child. The experience of discipline seeks to simulate for the child the consequences of a given action, word, or attitude. The parent hopes that by providing this consequence, the child will develop the will to avoid similar things in the future. The parent, who is older and hopefully wiser, sees that if the child's behavior is left unchecked, there will be much greater trouble in store in the future. It is love on the part of parents that helps us to do the difficult task of discipline, because the parent can see beyond the immediate future. Discipline is no different, and not just for children. God disciplines us too, but as hard as it is to understand while going through the discipline, it is because God really does love us. What kind of a person, knowing that his children were heading for great danger, would just try to make them feel good along the way? And yet, this is often what we want from God. We want to hear that we are okay. We want everyone to approve of everything we do. But this is not love. God does whatever it takes to lead us in the right way, just like any loving parent. And so no matter how harsh discipline may seem, when it comes from a loving parent or a loving God, it is for our good. The Apostle Peter gives us a reason why God may allow us to go through a trial. He tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 6, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love." Faith is an essential aspect of salvation. The Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians, the second chapter, verse 8, that we are saved through faith, and yet faith is a gift from God. God wants us to know, as he says in verse 7, the genuineness of your faith. He does this through trials. James helps us to understand this. In James, the second chapter, beginning in verse 14, we read, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warm and filled,' but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, it is dead." Clearly then, faith without works, as James said, is dead. The works James is talking about is obeying God. Obeying God's commandments and laws, which include the seventh-day Sabbath, the law of tithing, keeping God's holy days, and many more. God may be testing you to see if you have the faith to obey him, even if your employer doesn't want to give you the day off. Are you prepared to lose your job even if your employer will not give you a day off work so you can observe the Sabbath or to keep his holy days? The Apostle Paul was inspired to write that he will not allow us to go through any situation greater than we can bear. That should be of great comfort. Ask God to give you the faith to trust him to provide for you. Losing a job can be stressful, especially knowing that your income is gone. But God does promise to take care and provide for his people. As we, through discipline, learn to obey God, we will be blessed even more. Paul probably encountered more trials and problems than most of us in this lifetime. In 2 Corinthians 11th chapter, beginning in verse 24, we read, "From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A day and a night I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness." Paul continues to say in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 35, "Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and in caves of the earth." Some often comment that they endure more trials after being called into God's church than before they were called. God has great plans for us. If God didn't allow trials to come our way, maybe God has given up on us. So let's be thankful, not for the pain of the discipline itself, but for the joy of knowing the final outcome, being with God and Jesus Christ in His kingdom. When your employer corrects you on a mistake you have done, or when you decide to correct one of your children, how is it done? Hopefully your boss will sit down with you privately in their office and discuss the matter with you. Or you will sit down privately with your child and explain what they did wrong and how to improve next time. We would expect nothing less from our Heavenly Father. God speaks to us through His written word, the Bible. As we read His word, God would like nothing more than for us to allow His written instructions to us to correct us, when needed, about any aspect of our daily lives. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 16, Paul writes to us, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." When we are not doing what God's Word tells us we should be doing, let's change our ways and get in line with God's instruction. This way, God won't have to administer His discipline to get us to follow His Word. Paul tells us in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11, "For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. Later, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." On 2 separate occasions, Paul has reminded us that the painful process of discipline will yield the fruit of righteousness. How important is righteousness? David tells us in Psalm 119, verse 172, "My tongue shall speak of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness." God will discipline us to bring about change. It isn't human righteousness or human obedience that God wants. God wants, as I said, change from within, a change of the heart. That is godly righteousness. If you have a Bible, please turn with me to the book of Galatians chapter 3, beginning in verse 19. Just as the little child who didn't want to sit down and reminded his parent that he was only sitting down on the outside, God wants a total change of heart, the desire to want to obey. Not just the letter of the law, but the spirit of the law. We cannot make that change on our own, though. It will only come about as a gift from God when He gives us His Holy Spirit. Paul tells us then in Galatians chapter 3, verse 19, "What purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed, or Christ, should come to whom the promise was made. And it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. Continuing in verse 20. Now a mediator does not mediate for one only, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. But the Scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. After Jesus Christ had given us faith through his Holy Spirit, Paul says we are no longer under a tutor. In other words, we are no longer under the penalty of the law or eternal death. Most people assume that God's correction is always painful, and sometimes that may be the case. But as I said earlier, godly discipline is intended to bring about transformation or change. Punishment only brings about outward conformity. Hebrews 12 talks of love correcting or disciplining us, but that verse also should be taken within the entire context of the New Testament. God's desire is that all of mankind will enter into his kingdom. God's hope through his Holy Spirit is that we will respond to his correction through his Spirit. Some unfortunately will refuse God's love, and to get everyone's attention, God will have to use, as some call it, tough love. For example, we can read about this in Zechariah chapter 14, beginning in verse 16. In the not too distant future, we read about a prophecy beginning in verse 16. And it shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whichever of the families of the earth do not come up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, on them there will be no rain. If the family of Egypt will not come up and enter in, they shall have no rain. They shall receive the plague with which the Lord strikes the nations who do not come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all the nations that do not come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. God withholds the rain to get their attention. Yes, he is serious. God wants everyone to acknowledge he is our great God, and he wants us to obey him, not because we have to, but because we want to. I see my time is about up. If you'd like some additional information, I invite you to write for two booklets, The Narrow Way and Why Does Mankind Suffer? All you have to do to receive these booklets is to call us, the Marble Hill Church of God, Seventh Day, at 573-238-3675. Thank you for listening. This is Bob Hutchinson sitting in for Pete Hornbuckle.
Thanks for listening to Pete Hornbuckle and the Way It Ought to Be program, presented by the faithful members and co-workers of the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, located on County Road 300, one block north of the Cat Ranch in Marble Hill, meeting Saturday, the Sabbath, at 2 p.m. You can listen to our previously recorded broadcasts or order free literature on our website at www.thewayitoughttobe.org or call us at 573-238-3675 or email us at thewayitoughttobe@hotmail.com. Our address is Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, Post Office Box 615, Marble Hill, Missouri 63764.